Hello everyone, and welcome to Bulbacast episode 6. Got a rather short episode for you this week, just to catch up on the latest AG episodes. We've got another episode planned for recording on the weekend, actually, to bring us up to date on all the recent events, the 10th anniversary, the 9th movie information that's recently come out, the new Pokemon, of course, and the new anime opening. Not to mention the AG episode that's airing tonight, I believe, in Japan. I'm sure Pi will have a field day with that one. With me today are PPN Steve of PokemonPalace.net and Degazu of Degazu's Backpack.
Hello.
Also of Bulb Garden and Cerebi. I'm Archaic, as you know, and let's get started, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Okay, the first episode was Usohachi King and Manene Queen, wasn't it?
This wasn't really that good an episode, I thought. I thought it was just a... it was an okay... It was alright, but... I don't know, it really wasn't all that memorable to me.
Yeah, I have to agree. It gave me some kind of Kanto vibes, actually, in that it reminded me of the, Psyduck and Wigglytuff episode a bit, but...
Except that one was better.
Just in feel.
Yeah, that one was done well. This one...
This one, it was kind of second rate.
Yeah, I actually...
It was okay, I liked the episode for filler, but the story could have been a lot better.
Yeah. Even for filler, it was fairly low grade, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the really fast pace that the anime's been going on. I know that's a minority opinion, but with things, when the answer is to have filler like this, maybe we should just rush everything.
Yeah.
If this is nothing to do with filler.
I mean, filler should be used for character development, really. But when was the last time they did character development? Well, I guess fairly recently, but...
They'll be doing it this week with the...
Oh, yes.
Akechi battle, so...
If they don't, we'll be very disappointed.
Yeah.
But another thing people have mentioned is that the fourth generation Pokemon are already kind of ingraining themselves in the history of...
That's true.
...the Pokemon world. We have Usohachi and Manene. Not only is... You know, people are... They aren't surprised to see them. They're not rare enough for people to say, oh, look at them. And they're even popular enough to be in a movie.
Yeah.
And to have fangirls and everything. So they've been out for a while. And so this new generation has already kind of put its roots in. And it's as far as the anime is concerned, they have always existed.
Mm. Well, with Usohachi and Manene... they're both pre-evolutions, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, in that case, it's a lot more understandable. You'd think someone would have seen them before. But for have we seen any brand new Pokemon actually appear in the anime yet?
In the TV series?
Yeah.
No.
Not since you...
They've all been pre-evolutions. And we had the movie with that's whether or not that's the same canon as the TV series, that's very debatable. But as far as the TV series, they've all been pre-evolutions. They've all been movies.
Until we get one that is totally new, I don't think we're going to see any real reaction from the characters in the Pokemon series.
I don't think we will anyway, just because ever since Johto, when they've started premiering new Pokemon,
sure.
It was always kind of like, oh, they've always been here.
They've about all will probably...
Well, you gotta realize each of the Pokemon they premiere are specific to that area, more or less. And that's how it's always been in the anime.
So that would mean...
They've always perceived it that way because, true. I mean, you know, Johto area, you can only get these sub-Pokemon, and Kanto these, Hoenn these, etc., etc.
Yeah, we see wild Usohachi and Manene in Kanto.
So you don't see the newer Pokemon in an old area, although this one kind of departed from that, but...
The thing that bothers me is that they, way back in the Bill's White House episode, they said that we know of 150. And I know that back during that time, they weren't aware that they were going to keep making hundreds and hundreds of new ones. But it just seems a bit lame that they have to kind of forget that and just pretend like, oh, we never said that. It was, we've always had...
Was that the line in the Japanese version?
Yes. Yes, as far as I know, yes. So it's like, you know, at the time there were only 159, but, you know, just to address it somehow, say, oh, we just discovered these or something, but they don't even, but as far as I know, they've never covered a Pokemon discovery in the anime.
Mm.
You know, we found a new species. I've never seen any headlines made about that. Never. Seeing some professor, you know, look what I just discovered. It's always been, we've already heard about this.
Yeah, I suppose you could probably explain it away by saying they had not 150 species, but more. What the right word be for this? 150 genotypes, I guess. Saying a bit more general.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends what the Japanese word was that they used there, but you're right, it is a pretty big continuity error now, but there's no way they can really change that at this point. At least they're making sure not to make similar errors at this point.
I guess the only other thing worth mentioning about this episode was the weird dance-off at the end, where everyone started to dance, and they had Polka Dolka in the background, and...
That was a bit
that
weird.
Was just kind of... I kind of rolled my eyes at that. The only good part about that was that Sonansu was dancing in the opposite direction of everyone else. And I just thought that was funny, but otherwise, it was kind of...
Actually, speaking of
flashbacks of Shrek 2, and... I shouldn't have flashbacks in that movie because I hated that. And I hated this scene in this episode.
Yeah, this episode seemed to have a lot more Team Rocket activity than they've had in a while, actually.
Did a little,
They got to disguise them.
I mean, recently they seem to be blasting off almost as soon as they get in the air.
Oh, no, personally, I'd like the Rocket Don. I hope they don't leave because, in my opinion, they have saved more episodes than they ever ruined. I think the reason people don't like them is because, you know, they interrupt gym battles. They just waste time that could be spent on the whole...
No, that's not why they don't like them. They don't like them because they're so repetitive. They do the same thing over and over. And see, trying to move them into doing something new and different. Whether it's helpful or evil, it doesn't really matter. Of course, you know, I mean, it's Team Rocket, so if you keep it evil, it's, you know, it stays with their characters.
I'd like to see him be competent.
I would too, actually.
We've seen glimpses of that with Colgiolo, and he had the poker ringer at first, and then he had the orienteering contest.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was just going to bring up the orienteering one. At least James, anyhow, wasn't a bad guy. You know, he went for it, you know, he followed the rules, the whole nine yards. And it was, you know, exciting.
Another thing that
was
needs
generally
to be
interested in, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, sorry.
Another thing that needs to be considered is that they are actually fairly competent when you think about it. They're just not as good at what they do normally as Ash and the group are. I mean, put them in a contest or a tournament and they generally go right up to the final rounds and then get knocked out by Ash and Co.
Right. And that's been pretty much since the beginning, so I'm pretty sure that's just how they want it to be.
Yeah, I mean,
because if you think about it, they've been trainers longer than Ash.
Yeah.
Haven't they? They had to have been, because Ash was just starting out when they met Team Rocket. Team Rocket already had their Pokemon, already had their motto, they had their everything. Yeah. Right, so you have to assume that they've already been around.
I think their battling skill is pretty much dependent on what the writers need them to do. If they need them to hurry up and get out of the episode so that we can focus on the contest, for example. One Thunderbolt will do it. But if they don't have such a strong B story, then they will be more competent battlers. For the Ross episode, for example, they were terrific in that episode. They pretty much beat them, even though they were outnumbered number of trainers. They held their own. But other episodes, you look at them and they're sent blasting off. So I think it all depends on what use the writers have for them for that.
Falls back onto their actual role in the show.
Yeah.
And as Archaic said, comic relief.
But I think they do succeed as comic relief because. So what about the next episode?
Yes.
That's the.
A bit disappointing, actually. It had been hyped up in the fan community, but. I mean, we all knew it was going to be a sizzle.
Oh, yeah. The shape alone kind of gave it away.
Yeah. I mean, some of us had vague hopes that it was Jigglypuff underneath the cloak with some sort of doohickey, but so much for that. Yeah.
Speaking of
that would have really made the episode. I don't understand how they could have not put Jigglypuff in there when it's got the marker thing.
I think by this point the writers just love to toy with us by putting the scenes with all the characters having markers on their faces. We all make you seem, that must be Jigglypuff, so that when you see the episode, it's like, haha, you thought he was going to be here, but he's not.
Well, that's us obsessive fans. How do the normal fans in Japan think about that?
I'm sure they remember. I'm sure they remember him, and I remember what he used to turn around.
It's hard to tell, because, I mean, you go on the Japanese forums, and they barely discuss anything.
They take it for what it is.
Anything, and they barely discuss anything. It may not just be the fan community, but...
Well, you know, they don't have to overanalyze it like we do here.
What was interesting to me is that he was able to write on people's faces, and, you know, he made shapes and everything, this Pokemon, this Sizer. He made all these shapes with that big old claw of his. Like, I'm amazed he was able to hold the pen, hold the marker steadily enough to draw on people's faces so quickly, too. I mean, he did it in, like, half a second, and then he left.
Takes practice.
And it's kind of like, you know, Strong Bad typing with his boxing gloves on the Homestar Runner website. It's kind of one of those weird things that you think, well, how does that really... You know, but I thought it was a pretty good episode, actually. I thought...
It wasn't too bad for filler. Could have been better.
It was better than the last one. And...
Yeah.
I thought it was highly amusing how it looked like they were on the same rooftop mansion from Hypno's Nap Time. If you remember that episode from way back.
Now, I didn't make that connection, but that's very interesting.
It looks like... It's not the same city, because I believe this episode takes place in something like Komata City. Something like that.
Ah, okay.
And Hypno's Nap Time in the Japanese version took place in Yo-Yo-Yo Town. So, it's a different city, and it would be located differently either. I believe they would have already passed Yo-Yo-Yo City. But it's pretty much the exact same mansion. And you also see, earlier in the episode, one of the little girls who gets attacked by the Red Inazuma is this girl with... She has a Chansey, and she has pigtails and the pink thing, and she's from that episode as well. She was one of the girls. I think she said she wanted to be a nurse.
The exact same character.
I didn't
character.
Make that connection. I didn't make that connection.
That's really obsessive stuff there, but that's very interesting.
I just find things like that interesting. The fact they do recycle character designs so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. You have
I'm
so
sure that's all it is.
Hundreds of thousands. You have hundreds and hundreds of characters. You're going to reuse a character design every now and then. And this girl...
Yeah, you change the clothes, and it's a new character, basically.
Sometimes I'll even do that. This girl looked exactly the same as she did. And
I wonder if it was intentional.
I don't know if it was the same. Yeah. I don't know if we're talking about the same one, PPN Steve.
Talking about the girl with the pigtails, right?
She has pigtails. She looks kind of... like she's wearing kind of a Chinese type of outfit, kind of pink. I think it has a.
It's pink and white. I'm looking at pictures of it. But then the white's like frilly. It looks like an apron, but it's really not. It's part of the dress.
I posted a picture in the review thread on Bubblegum Folders, if you want to look. But you know, I just thought it was pretty. I thought it was funny that they had so many throwbacks to this old episode, even though they weren't really throwbacks. And what about that new song that they played in the middle of the episode? Yeah, at the very.
I don't remember what that was.
When Luna and Haruka are having a battle and they play a brand new song, it's like Haruka's Makanai something, can't lose battle or something. And it was a brand new song that actually got credited in the episode's end credits, which they've never done with an insert song before. And I listened to it when it first started up. I thought, I don't know this song at all. What is this? And
I'm gonna have to go back and re-listen. It's about where in
the
middle.
I think I did know.
No.
I vaguely remember the song, and I thought at the time that I had heard it somewhere before, actually, but I couldn't place it.
It's sung by Haruka's voice actress, and it's apparently sung by the character herself. So. It couldn't have been before AG. I think it's a new song, because I've never heard it. And I tried to
make sure. I don't know if it was just for this particular episode.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of interesting, because they never really do that before. Why not just reuse, I don't know, Ready Go for the 800s?
Background music, but maybe that wasn't appropriate in this case. I don't know. I can't remember any episode where this happened, so I can't even place it, but.
I don't know, maybe there's some new CD coming out and they just want another song to fill up, so.
That's very possible.
There is a new CD coming out, but that's a collection of all the opening and ending.
Perfect, later down the road. Maybe they'll put this together with the new opening spurt, which also premiered with this episode.
Possibly.
Yeah, well, someone has said that the track listing isn't set yet. So we might get this opening and some other stuff on it, on the release. But
so what about, do you want to talk about the opening now?
Yeah, let's bring the opening up since this episode is the one that had it.
Well, I was planning to leave it for the weekend, but I guess we can touch on it now.
Well, we can discuss it on the weekend, but let's, you know, at least tell people that this one did have the opening.
I mean, we're not running too long right now.
I mean, I like this opening, to be honest. I don't think we've had any bad openings for quite a while now. Since, I guess, Symphonic Melody.
Without qualifying it, I'm gonna have to say I didn't particularly care for it. The song, especially. Of course, discussion on this will be in the next Bulbacast. But it just didn't have that Pokemon feel that all the other openings seem to have.
I don't know. I think it did. I think it had the feel. I think the animation that went with it was nice.
Now, the animation on the opening was great. I liked a lot of it.
I wish I could get a copy of it
without the credits.
It had kind of nice 10th anniversary. Hey, look, we remember all these that he has all these Pokemon type feel.
A lot of good flashback to his older Pokies.
And the going back to the Butterfree. Oh.
They had the pink Butterfree, you know, they also had the Trinator mother with the big scar across her chest, just like she did back in Johto, and so it was a nice...
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was a nice animation.
He remembered all his old stuff.
But I think the song was great, too.
Was Primeape there?
Right
there. Sorry. I don't think Primeape was there, was it?
No. There was a few that were skipped. Primeape, I think, was one of them.
Haunter wasn't
something
there.
Something else. There's a thread on BMG about it.
Yeah. Haunter was always debatable as a catch, but he did catch Primeape fair and square.
He did, but...
Yeah, well, he had to get his hat back somehow.
But I like the opening, and I've probably watched it way too many times. It's really sad, actually. I've stuck in my head. And the only thing I actually don't like about the opening is that I felt it came a little bit too early, because now the final version of Battle Frontier has two brains missing. The first Battle Frontier opening, the most recent version of that has two brains missing. I just think that's kind of lame that they could have at least kept that until they could fill those two in.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Spurt done right. I suppose if they make Battle Pyramid a two episode part, I would have liked to have seen Spurt as the opening for the second of those episodes.
Yeah. But I mean, I realize that they need to have time to hype this new song. It's probably going to be used for the opening to the new movie if the new movie has an opening. This song will probably get remixed for that. So they want to get it ingrained into people's brains so that by the time July gets here, you know, they'll know to buy the CD single or something.
Well, when's Battle Pyramid likely to be?
Probably maybe sometime in May. Late April, May. At the rate they're going.
Late April, May would have been enough to get this new opening ingrained. Honestly, this opening couldn't last until... I mean, after Pyramid, they need a new opening. With how they've done this. You couldn't keep the Battle Frontier stuff in it.
I have to agree with Archaic. It's just too early.
Yeah.
They weren't done with what they were doing now.
You'd need to cut the Battle Frontier stuff out of it to move it later. But...
Well, throughout Battle Frontier's run, they added the Pokemon Mysterious Dungeon parts. They changed things left and right, so... You know, who's to say they won't update
well,
this
yeah,
as well? Just take out the shots of the Frontier brains.
And put in what?
Put in whatever they're going to do for the next region. Put in Pokemon Ranger shots. You know, by that point.
Or whatever they're running on into, like the Pyramid or something.
And
doesn't really matter. But let's move on.
Yeah. Actually, I think we've covered about everything we wanted to this week, and more.
Do you want to go over 10th anniversary stuff real quick?
Okay, and we'll be right back right after this commercial break.
Need Pokemon information? Hey, there's only one place to get it. Pokemon Palace Network. PPN has game cheats, game information, episode information, movie information. Remember, don't get your daily dose of Pokemon anywhere else. That's PokemonPalace.net.
I guess we're back from commercial.
Since we've been joined by TSS Killer during that commission break, I think we might actually have some discussion of a few of the things we were going to leave for the weekend initially.
Mm-hmm.
So, what should we get to first? The 10th anniversary?
10th anniversary, 10th anniversary, 10th anniversary.
Yeah, I guess so. It's in high demand.
Sounds good to me, then.
It was actually the day after we recorded episode 5, and so that's probably the oldest quote-unquote news that we haven't covered yet.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was quite that late. Okay. Let's get to it then. Well, which part of it do we cover first, I guess, is the question.
Well, I don't know, the games.
This year was the anniversary of just the video games, Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green. The anime and everything else, that's not until next year. So, and actually, I'm kind of not looking forward to the anime anniversary because that will be on April 1st, which means...
I could have.
April 1st, 1998, the TV series began airing on TV Tokyo, which means that instead of celebrating the anime properly, like websites should, they're going to be doing all these lame April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do some pictures of Ash.
And it's 1997,
like
not
years,
1998.
For the anime.
85 years old, and he's still got the same Pikachu.
Here's the U.S. It's September 8th, 1998.
Yes,
the Japanese is, April
1st. April 1st, 1997. The dub is September 98. September 8th, 1980.
Yes.
So, I'm not looking forward to that because we're going to have all these people update their websites. This morning, Nintendo announced new spinoff series, new movie, something, and it will take.
Oh yeah.
For any of us.
It's going to be a joke and not. Yeah. Serious.
Any of us who are anime mods at Bulletgarden or CiceroB.net or wherever, we are going to be cleaning that up for months, saying no, that was not true, and we'll be doing damage control for months. I can tell right now.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Thank God I don't mod that on my forum.
I mean, thankfully, Japan has they pull one before the US does, so I'm hoping to be able to get up the real news while it's still March 31st for all of you.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can do it.
Well, we'll have at least a week lead time from the Japan, won't we?
Not if something special is only announced on April 1st.
Which, the thing is, Japan, they might do it because they don't really have April Fool's Day in Japan. So
they do, too, they unfortunately. Do? They do.
Yeah.
It's not celebrated as widely, but they do have it.
And it's a lot more twisted than to look what like, U.S. could be.
Oh, yes. But if you need proof that they do it, if you know the manga XXXHolic, they make a big fuss about how one of the characters' names, Watanuki, is actually written as April the 1st in kanji.
Okay. So this year was the 10th anniversary of the video games, and
yeah,
yes.
Obviously, none of us were playing it back in 1997. We didn't.
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think 96.
Yeah.
96 is
not 96.
96. Nah. I'm sorry, 96. I am terrible with dates, if you cannot tell. I'm not.
I might have played it once in 96, but that wasn't my copy. It's an exchange, Jins. Didn't understand a frigging thing either.
But I think the overwhelming majority of the Pokemon fandom did not get into it through the Japanese Red and Green games. You know, so
no.
Even though it may not mean so much for us, just, you know, we weren't really doing anything 10 years ago regarding Pokemon. It's still a big date that I don't know. I feel like it's kind of been blown over a bit. Like Nintendo.
Yeah, they didn't.
They're doing their America tour, which is actually coming close to where I live, so I'll actually have a chance to get Celebi. But other than what the America tour is doing, I haven't really seen so much fanfare about the 10th anniversary. None of the major websites I've visited have really done much of anything.
I guess it's because of the decline in the fandom. Over the last couple of years.
Well, not just that.
There's not
the
promotion.
The fandom is more centered around the anime
USA
and TCG.
Very.
Very true.
Yeah, the anime, that's one reason April 1st is going to be kind of a mess because that will be seen by many to be the real, I guess, anniversary. And I will tell you that this.
Well, when you say Pokemon to people, what's the first thing they think of?
TV show, probably. Well, it might be
no,
video games.
No, it's not.
Because there are a lot of people who play just the video games, and there are a lot of people who just watch the TV show.
And also people who play the card game.
You got to put the card game in that mix somewhere, too.
Yeah. The card game isn't so popular outside of the U.S., unfortunately, but inside the U.S., it's amazingly popular.
It was to the point where there were schools were banning them. That's how popular it got.
I remember that horrible times.
I heard
from somewhere actually that the Pokemon TCG World Championships last year was bigger than the Yu-Gi-Oh one.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, but if that is true, then that does kind of show you just.
You know, you don't hear a lot of prime time information about the Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, but you do, but you really
is.
Do need to
no, you
where
don't.
To go.
That's just it. It's specialized. It's not mainstream like it used to be. But it is, and probably for the next 5 years will continue to be very hot. Okay, yeah. Granted, it doesn't have the popularity with the masses like it did back when it peaked. But then that's a good thing. Because now you don't have every Joe on the street watering down your competition pool, or however you want to say that. You know? There's serious people out there now who can play. You know, the championships and the tournaments that they have, both city, state, regional, and all that, are much, much higher quality now.
Oh, yes.
The prize package, of course, is even better because it's now backed by Pokemon USA / Nintendo. Whereas before, it was kind of
more or less volunteer. Yeah, the prize packages now aren't just like cards.
We're talking...
The prize packages like, now are like scholarships.
$7,500 for first place. That's big money.
Yeah.
And all expense paid trips to the championships. That's big prizes.
No, I never really got.
Especially if you're a 12-year-old, you know, and you've got a good deck.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've never gotten to that much. But no, I was just saying, I never really got into it. I just play the Game Boy game, and that's really it. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
Oh, the Game Boy game, the old one, is so different from how the game is now. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes.
Let me take this second to ask. Everybody in the group here, what was your first experience with Pokemon? The game, the anime, or other?
Anime. I was actually shown an episode by a exchange student who was staying at my house.
Very good. And TSS, you said the anime too?
Yep. First time, WB11, yay for New York, September 8th, 1998. First, I didn't like it, and then all of a sudden, I just got used to it because everybody was peer pressure kind of thing. When you're in, the, when you were in the third or fourth grade, you know, you had peer pressure. So,
okay.
I watched the anime first same day as TSSQ. I saw the first one where they did the Saint Anne episode, and they did the special. This is a preview episode of Pokemon. Tune in tomorrow to find out how his journey began and all that stuff. And I mean, I've just been watching it ever since. I remember I found out about it just because at that time I was really big into anime. And wow, a new anime show. And Pokemon, okay, whatever. Is this the one with the seizures? Sure, whatever. And I watched it. And then later I picked up the video game and I played Red and Blue probably way too much, way more than I should have.
I had over 900 hours logged on my Blue.
I did the video game myself first, which brought me to the TV, to the anime, because back in those days they actually kind of tracked the games, and I got clues from the show to play my game, like which way to go.
I remember playing the game and just thinking.
And my first game was Red, of course.
I just remember how it was so neat. I thought at the time that they were trying to emulate the TV series. Of course, I know that it was the other way around. But just the music, it had the same music as the TV show, and it had, I remember the episode.
Which I thought was pretty cool, too.
With Giselle, and they had that little simulator. Remember that the simulator?
Episode 9, yep.
That kind of emulated the Game Boy, and the battles were the same way as it was in the simulator, and there were so many similarities. I just thought, wow, this is such a cool game.
Yep.
I don't play the game.
I remember
so much
thinking
anymore.
I remember being amazed at just how big the game was. I'd never seen a Game Boy game that big. Oh, I mean, maybe Link's Awakening, but besides that, I'd never really seen a Game Boy game on that scope.
And from what I understand, the game in Japan really wasn't that popular at first. It took quite a while for it to gain momentum for word of mouth to.
Didn't it get popular after the remake?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, the original.
Because they changed the style of it, and it was a lot more user friendly and more exciting kind of thing.
And they added the two version idea, the linking.
Right.
They updated the graphics, added in some more Pokemon. I think. I don't think the original Blue had all of them.
Yep, I do believe that's
true. didn't the original Blue only have, like, the Pokemon that eventually made it into the first Pokemon Stadium?
Well, the green. Well, in green, probably. Because Pokemon Stadium number one in Japan only had 40. And...
Oh, it must have had more than that, then.
No. It had more than that. Just that in Pokemon Stadium 1 in Japan only had 40. For some weird reason.
I mean, the original Blue game must have had more Pokemon than that, then. I don't see it.
It
only had 40. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think the games will be like in 10 years?
If it's still around?
I'm hoping strongly for continued online battles, continued online team building, Pokemon in the wild.
Fully 3D RPG.
Easier training.
I don't know about easier training, but...
I would like to see a way that either rewards you for training your favorites instead of just having maybe 20 really strong Pokemon to choose from that you can build your team with. To have something that's really tournament worthy, or something that makes things easier.
How about something along the lines of the Nintendogs, but for your Pokemon?
Interaction like that? I think that's a given within 2 years at the most.
How about
that soon?
More interactive?
They've already had it with KU Pikachu. Let's be honest.
They're probably not going to do it again.
No, they'll do it again after Nintendogs.
I want to see more multi. Person interaction, personally.
Yeah.
You log on Wi-Fi and kind of like a MMORPG.
Yeah, I want to see Nintendo obviously wanted to do something.
Whoa.
So, Nintendo obviously did want to do something there with what they did with Emerald, Fire Red and Leaf Green with the adapters and the joy spots. I think they were really limited there by the GBA's technology, but with the DS now...
But with
now,
the DS and possible upcoming... model that is
I mean we've already seen that they can do some we've seen that they can do some pretty amazing stuff with the DS with what they're doing with Metroid Prime Hunters, for example. So
I see Pokemon going in that route, or I'd like to anyway.
I don't think they could do connect you to a server and you play online there, as in your whole adventures online, but I do think they will have a much larger online area.
I would hope, and where you could just log on and be there, and let's say, I don't know, do like some sort of map type thing, so that you can have the chance for random battles, random trainers popping up, you know, get into a specific or a... you know, specifically defined area. If you two get into that area, boom, it says, hey, look, this trainer's seen you, he wants the battle.
Make it an area the size of an Animal Crossing map. I mean, we know they can transfer that over DS. So
right, it's the same kind of idea. Just, you know, it would make the game more more realistic to what everybody's seen on TV.
I was just thinking... because we kind of veered off the subject from 10-year stuff, I think more...
Yeah, we did.
You know, I don't think we'll have the revolution in 10 years.
Yeah.
In 10 years, do you guys think we will still be collecting 8 badges, beating Elite Four, all of that?
Almost certainly.
You think they're not going to stray from the formula?
They're not going to stray from the core formula. They'll add extra stuff, but yeah.
We'll have maybe 10 separate locations or areas, whatever, regions.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the basic formula won't change.
And how many Pokemon do you predict there will be by 2016?
1,500.
A lot.
1,500? You say, Archaic, you say 2,000?
It really depends, because by then I think they'll have allowed proper crossbreeding, and then you're going to get some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, you'll have... manipulate DNA add-on for Pokemon version 20 or something.
Yeah, I mean, the number of species will almost be unlimited by that point. You'll have a number of standard Pokemon species that are always there, but then they can crossbreed, and then you've got a second layer of species where they're fairly common crossbreeds, and that they're well published, but then you're going to get some really obscure ones. following that that might not even be able to breed.
You know, that's an interesting point.
Might be one-off things that you get luckily.
Actually, why not have it
your own species
in 10 years,
and name
okay, the technology. Remember, that we're thinking 10 years in the future, right?
Yeah.
Why not have it so that we don't? It doesn't have to be pre-programmed in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right
what
now,
I'm
you
thinking.
Get, like you said, you get one or two levels that are already in the game that's pre-programmed. Then you do your crossbreeding, as you state, creating something that's totally new and it's unique to your game.
So would it be like The Sims with Pokemon, where you would create them and pick their colors and everything?
No, it would be but deeper.
No, that
because it would be cross. You know, species and...
Yeah, you'd have to take two Pokemon that you already own with characteristics that you want to breed, make sure they're compatible, breed them together, and then the game's going to somehow make a composite of them. I guess you could almost use an identity
Pokemon
way to get the graphics done. Though by then, the computer might be able to make its own graphics for them on the fly.
Exactly, that's the point. It should have the technology to already be doing that by then.
Yeah.
Anything else on the 10th anniversary?
Not really. There's
nothing.
Really anything else. We just covered it.
Alright, do we want to say anything about anything else?
Well, I just saved the episode discussion for Saturday because we would have three episodes to talk about. I mean, we want to have speculation to this week's. So
we do want our call-ins to have a lot to say. We don't want to cover every single detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we say? We wrap this up then.
Yeah,
sounds
we'll
good to me.
So.
Alright, well, I guess that about wraps everything up from us today. We'll be coming to you again with episode 7 sometime this weekend. That'll be recorded Saturday evening for all you in the US. For the rest of us, that's Sunday morning. We'll hopefully be doing more in-depth coverage then of the 10th anniversary and all the other recent events like the opening, as well as taking your call-ins, of course.
And don't forget to visit our IRC channel located at irc.asiatunes.net, #Bulbacast, and our regular affiliate channel, #Bulbagarden, because everybody wants you there. Make sure to drop us a line at bulbacast@bulbagarden.net for all of your questions. And on Saturday, the Bulbacast channel will be opening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or for everyone in Europe, in Greenwich Mean Time, that is 11 p.m. And recording will start promptly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Sunday morning for everyone in Asia and Australia. That being said, for everyone here at Bulbacast, including PPN Steve, Dogasu, and Archaic, this is TSS Killer saying goodbye, everyone, and we'll see you on Saturday.